Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Shake them ropes. Jeff Hawkins, Chris Novembrino here, doing the second show of the week. Announcement about that, by the way. I am going to stop doing the Tuesday show. Too much audio.
I set a trend. I am once again the main trendsetter. I see the future, and the future is Nov. Yes. Tell them, Jeff.
Well, it's just I have, usually on a given week, I have really only about 15 minutes worth of stuff to say about the two shows combined. So trying to stretch that out into a half hour or 45 minutes, not really doing it. So if I have a lot of things to say about it, I'll do my own recording and I'll add it on to the Thursday show. If it's just a few different things, they'll be so tepid by then, I'll just start shake them ropes that way and see if Chris can keep up. So, yeah, and also it's just one of those things where it's like, I need another night in the week to myself.
Yeah, no, I can relate with that. I got asked over the weekend here if I was going to start doing the main roster stuff again. And my generic response on this is, when they get rid of the wild card rule and really signal that there has been a real sea change in the booking of the main roster, I'll go back to reviewing it. But I don't think we're saying anything new with our critiques at this point, so that becomes a little bit recursive.
As you know, Rob stated when he started this show, he didn't want this to be a straight-on review show. He just wanted to hit a few major points and get out of there. And I'm fine with doing that, too. I like breaking down the three shows on the network because that's a little bit more fun. Deconstructing Raw and SmackDown isn't fun, but I'll still watch it. I'll still break it down. There'll still be pay-per-views to do.
Yeah, and I think we'll both still be watching the product enough to probably do like a preview of the monthly pay-per-view. I think we could probably still muster something like that.
It's just if you listen to other podcasts on wrestling that break down this stuff, our takes will be ice cold by the time you get them.
But maybe, Jeff? It. Maybe we do our preview shows for the Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views on the Patreon side, which you can go and check out at patreon.com/shakethemropes.
So, two things, Chris. Number one...
You kept one of these a mystery.
Well, I'm keeping both of these a mystery, actually, but you went to the G1.
I did.
On Saturday, live. How was that for you?
I had a great time. I mean, this was sort of serendipitous. I wasn't necessarily even planning on going, and then I was able to land a ticket. My seat was a little higher than I would have liked, but I had a good view of the ring. And I'll tell you what, when Jushin Thunder Liger came through that curtain, even though from where I was sitting, I could watch him come from like backstage and walk up to the stairways before he walked up and walked through the entranceway, which takes a little bit of the magic out of it, let me tell you. But even with all of that said, that music hit in the arena, goosebumps, man. I love Jushin Thunder Liger. Now, I will say this. This is an observation that I noticed, that during the main event, the crowd was very into it, but I felt as though in the sub-main event, which was Kenta versus Kota Ibushi, the crowd was at times disrespectful, but more importantly, disengaged. Disrespectful in the sense that they started cheering and clapping for Red Shoes, which before Kota Ibushi and Kenta came out, there had already been a big round of applause for Red Shoes. He had gotten his moment. He didn't need his moment. And I read it as a little bit of the crowd checking out. And there was a real contrast for me between the good, healthy, robust, correct pop for the main event, which was Tanahashi versus Okada, versus the sub-main event that I thought the crowd was lukewarm on in the house.
Yeah, I'll address a couple things real quick. The most surreal moment I think I've had in wrestling fandom was going and seeing Jushin Thunder Liger at PWG in Reseda in a AFW hall. You know, it's like I'm watching him and he's basically wrestling in a moose lodge, and this is one of the biggest superstars in Japanese wrestling history. And once the music hits, it was an electric atmosphere. It was just surreal to see him.
The people around me all claimed to be these big marks for New Japan. None of them were clapping when Liger's music hit. And I wanted to kind of be like, okay, you guys are talking a really good game, but this is Jushin Liger. You should get into this right now.
Yeah. I did think the Kenta Kota match dragged on TV a bit too. So
it dragged on TV disengaged. As well. Yeah.
Yeah.
People felt disengaged.
How did I forget his name so quick? Davey Boy Jr.'s partner.
Oh, Lance Archer?
Okay. Lance Archer, thank you. Lance Archer is doing the gimmick Drew McIntyre should be doing on the main roster right now.
Oh, yeah, Lance is great, really impressive in person, and I love all of the Texas spots. I get that this is apparently divisive for the internet, but look, we're in Texas. I love Texas's rich wrestling history. The Von Erichs are geographically linked to Dallas. It's one of our big claims to fame. So I don't have a problem with the claw spot. I'm aware the claw is cheesy. That's the whole point. That's what makes it fun. It's cheesy. It's not my ideal wrestling maneuver. It's not the best finisher in the world, but when they do it in Dallas, it's tribute to all of the legendary wrestling history right down to the Sportatorium. So I mark out for all of that stuff, but I get that other people don't like it.
Yeah, when Barry Windham had the razor blade in the glove, that was kind of cool. that was kind of cool when they did the claw then. Other thing I wanted to ask, what wrestling are you watching Saturday, if any? Are you watching the 10th anniversary Evolve show, or are you watching AEW Fight for the Fallen, or neither?
I will likely catch both of them at some point when I'm working out, but Saturdays tend to be actually kind of a busy day for me now, professionally, okay, because we have the private parties and stuff that I take care of. So that I will probably catch something, one or both of those, on Saturday night when we get back.
I will be doing the after show AEW Fight for the Fallen over on Fightful. I will watch the Evolve probably before Extreme Rules. It will probably be one of those marathon days where I will hate wrestling by the time we get to Wednesday. So so be on the lookout for Shake Them Ropes next week.
You want to talk about Fale and Evil? Come on, let's do this. Let's do 10 minutes on Fale and Evil.
No.
Okay,
no,
fine.
I really don't.
It's just whatever. You take the fun out of living sometimes.
Look, I take the fun out of most things. And trust me, I'll already be lost in the G1 by night 3 because I just can't keep up with all.
Oh, I can't wait. This is like my favorite time of the year, so I will be having this on my computer and like half watching all of these shows throughout the next month and a half.
I got some blowback on Twitter for not bringing up the Kevin Owens promo in my general discussion of how bad Raw was and how kind of I thought SmackDown was a little meh. It was decent, but it was meh. But this awesome Kevin Owens promo, and the reason, Chris, I didn't bring it up is because I didn't think it was all that awesome, to be honest with you. It was a good promo.
It was fine. Yeah, that was my exact reaction. It's more real than, or more authentic feeling than some of these shoot style promos, but it was still like, I mean,
it's still within the
yes,
universe
yes.
of WWE as a corporation, and I work for the corporation, it's Norma Rae getting on the table with Union as a sign. You know, it's one of those types of promos.
There's a little bit more chaos going on with people kind of coming in and out of the arena, people exiting through the stands and through the crowd a little bit more. I like that, and we're adding a little bit more of that chaos energy that has been felt lost from the product. But I'm with you. Yes, this is very staged.
And plus, it's just a reboot of Kevin Owens' face run that they cut off to turn him heel for the New Day, just to turn him face again. And none of it's really explained. It's just, well, this is what this guy does.
I mean, I think he should be a face, so it doesn't make me livid, but yeah, I'm with you. They never should have aborted the first face turn. The first face turn was good.
Yeah, we just had all those promos that set up this face character that was over, and then all of a sudden he's going to turn on the New Day, and then now it's like, well, all's forgiven. I'll go back to that. It's just a little, it's too cute by half with the Stone Cold imagery, and then the promo was a little too CM Punk-y. It's almost like it's he's the Dr. Mindbender. You know, we're just going to take all these amalgams of different characters and stick it in. And that's what Kevin Owens will be now, as opposed to really, you know, I mean, the guy we want to root for that's kind of a little on edge and the prize fighter and other things for his family.
Yeah, yes.
You know, I'm hoping for that more. But yeah, I heard all this high praise and I kind of went,
step in the right direction. The crowd likes him. So, I mean, those things are clear pluses. But yeah, I'm with you. There's something about this that does leave me a little bit cold.
Yeah, I wasn't ready to get on that bandwagon just yet. So we have three shows in a tremendous upset, but well-deserved. The best show this week was 205 Live, I thought.
Yeah, I have to agree.
A lot of good stuff on this show.
Yes, absolutely.
Two big pluses. The Humberto Carrillo video package, which we're going to get 3 weeks of, I guess, and I'm fine with that. Give me more. Give me more of the story. Give me more of the Roddy Strong from NXT type feeling that they built with him, as opposed to him just, you know, I came here and now I'm sad. You know, I want more. I want to know him better, a little bit more than just catchphrases, but it's a good start. And then the video to end this show did more for Tony Nese than 2 years in 205 Live have done for him.
What a great retroactive continuity to edit around all of the Enzo stuff. I was clapping at the end of this because I thought they did such a nice job dancing around a very important chapter in the dynamic between Drew Gulak and Tony Nese that, for very obvious reasons, you can't revisit right now. And, yeah, no, I thought they just did a fantastic job with that finishing package.
And dare I say, another strong week of acting from one Mike Kanellis.
Yep, I agree. Love the Mike and Drake Maverick storyline. I'm so into this mid-card storyline. It's great.
Yeah, I you know, I'm famously blocked by Mike Kanellis, probably because somebody snitch tagged me, but
Drake's reaction was so great when he was delivering the fine. I loved that. Yeah. I don't really want to
He's
do this.
He's so much better. He is so much better on this 205 Live show than he is on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
He really is.
It's stupid on Raw. And I like that they found an elegant way to avoid the wild carding of Drake Maverick with this little rule that during the 1 hour a week, he's the general manager of 205 Live. The title is not up for grabs. So we're going to keep the Drake as manager character serious. That's all I needed. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah. By the way, I believe the wild card has officially been dropped. In some ways, they're just not going to even.
Well, the 24/7 title, you know, I call the 24/7 the wild card belt because it's a wild card.
I loved Nigel's the 23/7 because he's off for an hour.
Math not quite right there. Math not quite right there. But yes, I get what he's trying to say.
And the one real weak promo I thought was I thought Oney Lorcan's beginning promo here.
His character's still weird. Yeah.
It's, you know, he's playing kind of the intense, weird, creepy guy. And I don't know if it's connecting with me. That's just it.
You know why? Because eventually he has to be juxtaposed, I assume, against Drew Gulak. And I'm just having a hard time getting my brain around this Oney Lorcan character you know, opposed to that Drew Gulak character and me being really into Oni on this quest. So I wonder if there's another shoe to drop if we're going to turn Oni at some point still.
Well, it's not that for me. It's that the menace that he's projecting is more... How would I put
it? It's a heels menace. More,
it's wacky menace, almost. It's I'm...
Also true.
It's community theater menace. It's Lifetime movie angry boyfriend menace. Why did you go out at 10 p.m.? You know, that kind of thing. You know, you're just like, all right, whatever. It was that kind of thing. I did like the way they staged Arya Daivari attacking him at the end of
yes,
it.
Yes, that was great. I loved
break them up.
Break them up, don't let them touch until the end of the night. That made me so excited to see them lock horns at the end of the night, and they delivered on that end, too.
Agreed. Let's go through the matches.
Sure. So, Brian Kendrick has a match against Sunil Singh. I like the setup video package for this. Real simple. Kendrick is backstage. The Bollywood boys show up, offer Kendrick an award. Kendrick is offended because they say other things that are slighting. And Kendrick challenges them to a match. Good match. Totally fine. And then we're setting up a tag match next week.
Story of teaching him to dance was good for the first time. I didn't need it three more times.
Yes, I agree.
I just needed
it
once. The way that they had that ending though, I thought for sure Tozawa was turning on him, but I'm happy he didn't. I'm happy because I think Tozawa works better as a babyface.
Oh, I agree.
I think he gets a lot of goodwill on him as a babyface,
particularly
so
with
Drew with this.
And Daivari. You don't really need a ton more heels right now because you've got a heel champion.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? To get the Singh brothers away from the Lucha House Party onto another team, I'm good with that too. So yeah, I enjoyed this.
Jack Gallagher had a little showcase match against Devin Justin, who worked on Monday Night Raw. Not a ton to this, but this was interrupted at the end by Mike Kanellis, who came out and threw a big temper tantrum. The crowd got all over him as he was doing this, and then that led to our backstage segment between Drake Maverick and Mike a little bit later.
I like Jack Gallagher. I still think the audience is a little confused as to what side of the ledger he's on in terms of face.
The music. The music needs to change. I don't need him to go back to... It's not the
he needs to go back to Bizet's Carmen.
You want him to go back to Carmen. I don't know that I want him to go back to Carmen, but I do need him to have a little more pep because this theme that he currently has is such a William Regal dark-style theme. And I love his headbutt. I thought the work was good. Nice. He got a nice little match out of the guy he was working with, and that was fine.
Of course, I just like Bizet's Carmen.
It's feisty. I love that song.
So, or as some people may call it, the theme from the Bad News Bears. you know, that's how you learn all your pop. That's how you learn all your classy cultural stuff is how it was used in pop culture. Like, you know, like, hey, we learned Wagner by watching Bugs Bunny cartoons. You know, so why not? What was next? The anything goes or do we?
Yeah,
have
yeah. Next, we have Oni Lorcan versus Arya Daivari in an anything goes match. They brought out the ladders. They brought out the chairs. These two guys work really well with each other. They are willing to be pretty stiff with one another.
I felt bad for these guys because this is the point where this crowd turned into a WWE crowd where they didn't care about anything until the tables came out.
Oh, I know. That's,
which I thought was a shame.
It becomes a problem, yeah. Yeah, the tables.
I wish we could uncondition them on that. Wish we could uncondition them on the wedding. I really wish we could just have them, in a word, not be the show, but play your role in the show, kind of. I'm juxtaposing it with, I watched one of the Bash House shows that was put up for 86, and it's in Greensboro, it's in the football stadium there, like the college stadium or something like that. I think it's the UNC Greensboro one. And the massive pop for just a cross body block beating Black Bart by Robert Gibson. You know, I want rabid crowds, but I also don't want the self-aware crowds where they're just, you know, they're watching these guys hit each other with everything under the sun, and all they care about is, hey, when are the tables coming out? You know, just, you know, get into the fight, guys.
Yeah, I think a big part of that, too, Moro is doing a little bit of this on NXT, but I'd like to see Vic do a little bit more of this because it seems like he has a little less of people in his ear. Highlighting the form and the quality and the great execution of certain moves. Like, for example, when Daivari does the big splash off of the ladder, that looked great. Make sure you
that
really,
awesome.
Yeah, you make sure you really put over how formally perfect that is and have Aiden English explain that and you end it with, I don't like the guy, but you have to respect that. There's a way for the babyface announcer to also be putting that over as well.
Yeah, that's the thing that WWE doesn't do all that well.
And that's how you decondition them. That's how you get them off of just waiting for tables.
The thing that like other wrestling companies would do is if it's a big fight feel type of thing, they would put over the bravery of the heel in going to town too, because they weren't being cheating, sneaky bastards necessarily. If it was a blood feud, they were fighting for their lives, you know, in a cage or in a, you know,
the lines like,
whatever you had, you
say
know?
What you will about Jake the Snake,
yes.
Tonight he's standing toe-to-toe against The Undertaker or whatever, whoever your feud is.
Say what you will about Arn Anderson, but he is one of the best in the game at, you know.
And he's one of the toughest in the business.
Yeah, they would put over the toughness of the guys. So that I'd like to see that a little bit more. And then again, this just awesome Drew Gulak, Tony Nese retrospective / hype video for the match, which unless Akira Tozawa wins the 205 title, or is it him? That's God. I can't even remember the matches on this Evolve show because I think it's it's Riddle and Gulak for the 205 live. That's that was my mistake then. I don't think Matthew Riddle is going to be added into the match.
Are we going to finally get the failing weigh-in angle where Matt Riddle wins against Drew Gulak but doesn't make weight? That would be very fun.
No, but I think Gulak wins fairly easily against Tony Nese on Sunday.
Though. Oh, I completely agree with that. I think we're setting up a Tony turn because they keep emphasizing that his cruiserweight title thing. I think that this loss is going to get into his head.
Let's move on to NXT, shall we?
Sure.
Let me make this note also from the main roster. They are turning me on the Street Profits, and I feel bad about that. I absolutely loathe what they're doing in terms of being the kind of the hype men.
They're like the Greek chorus of Monday Night Raw now.
Yes, they're the Greek hip-hop chorus of Monday Night Raw, and it's interesting.
And
on
terrible.
One end, and just what they're doing with the Montez Ford doing the Rock impression and the random screaming of stuff. I'm just like, no, stop that. Because he also did that in the main event of NXT where like he had the Devon get the tables moment where it's just like, oh, here it comes. Here's the pattern that they're trying to establish for this guy. I love the Street Profits. Don't get me wrong. I love them. Their presentation on Raw was just, I'm watching this going, do you want these guys to get over as baby faces? Because I don't know if there'll be a certain segment that goes along with them as the, you know, oh, they're having fun because they have big personalities. But I think there's a certain segment that'll boo them if they continue this way.
Yes. I could totally see this going a little bit like the original run of the New Day, or not the original run, but that second iteration of the New Day where they were supposed to be faces, but the crowd was not on board.
Yeah, after they got past the we're serious and we've been put down, you know, when they were in suits and stuff.
There was a little bit of the insurgent campaign, and then they went wacky and zany.
And then they had the church chorus video.
Yes, yeah.
Where everybody was coming in doing, you know, the gospel voice. You know, about the, and everybody's just like, ugh.
Well, yeah, and Big E was cutting entire promos in a preacher voice, remember?
Yeah.
They still do the awe, but like, I mean, it used to be an entire promo in that as well.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. All right. Moving on to NXT UK.
No. We have the show to go over on NXT.
Oh, we have to go to NXT. Okay, sure. Yes, let's do it. Okay, I thought we were on NXT UK. My bad. I got the orders reversed.
Well, it's because I found NXT the weakest.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The weakest goes in the middle.
That's right. Absolutely.
Not weak, on the other hand, Emo Io Shirai.
So you're into Emo Io Shirai.
I'm kind of into Emo Io Shirai.
Are you into Emo Io Shirai because she is very attractive in this character, or because this character is good?
Right now, it's because the way they have her dressing in the black...
The outfits look great. I'm not denying that, but there's something very... it's actually off-putting
the
way
promo,
she's acting.
The promo was bad.
Yes.
Because she just should have yelled at them in Japanese as opposed to the broken English and dropping the mic.
Yes. That she's playing with their hair and stuff too, that I think is just, it's like too much for me. I don't mind her being dark. I don't have a problem with her being dark.
I like the new music.
The new music's great. Yeah. But there is some stuff that I thought was a little too wacky zany for me. Although I kind of get what they're trying to do.
The pausing, I thought, was a little much. I don't need
any of you. Yeah, right.
The dead air in between some of those words, it's just like, let's...
She could have just stared and gotten the booze. The crowd was clearly playing along.
Just do the gimmick where you put up the mic when you're about to start and you hear the booze and you stop for a moment and you just kind of glare at people and then the booze get louder every time you try to speak. Kind of like Roman Reigns in New Orleans.
Yeah, but she didn't need to say any of this, right? The crowd was already booing her. Yeah, we already know this line.
But the packaging is already better than the tiger mask.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Yeah, no, this is going to be an interesting revamp. This actually reminds me a little bit of the character that she ever so briefly worked as, the Black Lotus Tribe in Lucha Underground, especially with the black form-fitting stuff. So then we had a nice little showcase match for Damian Priest where he defeated Blanco Loco. I like this. This continues to establish Damian Priest as a big, tough guy who will hit the crap out of you.
The Archer stuff has to go.
Oh, I know.
It has to go.
So cheesy. It's like a watered down version of Gangrel.
Well, it was one of the problems that really it really hurt Becky Lynch when she was doing the straight fire gimmick and she'd pull out her bow and arrow and shoot before she ran at an opponent. It's one of those contrived things that'll get people to turn on a tough guy like Damian Priest, is what it'll do. It'll undermine his toughness eventually.
What did you think about Killian Dane and weaving in the Troubles to the Killian Dane character? Is this a little too
political?
Esoteric or something? Yeah, they were weaving in the Troubles. He was talking about losing part of his hearing from a car bomb in Ireland. I thought this is... I'm okay with educating an American audience about this, but I sort of think you're going to have to educate an American audience about the Troubles.
I think it's a good character, just not right for WWE.
It's great for WWE UK, though.
It's great for WWE UK in some ways, but this is a guy who needs to come out angry and smash people and not care about hurting them. And I just think they don't do that character well. Because it's all
And I don't see how the Trouble stuff really connects to him doing something in the ring. It's just kind of like a loose motivation.
Now I'm angry and I'm an agent of chaos.
Right. You might say he lacks sanity.
No.
So then I know it's a good joke. We should go with it. Jordan Miles faces off against Boa. Now, did you not like this match? Because this match had like kind of a weird energy. But I kind of liked it, and I kind of like this Boa. I'm a fan. Jordan Miles, a little bit wacky for me. Could have been a little bit more ramped down. But once these two guys got going and really started trading off the kicks and stuff, I was pretty into it.
Jordan Miles, the former ACH. I didn't like Boa that much. I thought he was a little...
Why not?
I think he's miscast. I think he's doing choreography when he shouldn't be doing choreography. That's my thing. I think ACH a little too, how do I put this without being too insensitive? the thing that they like to do with athletic African-American performers to show that they have personality is to make them cocky.
Kitsch.
And yeah, type of thing. It's we got enough of that type of personality on there. You know, the smiling, he's kind of glommed a bit from the old MVP character with the basketball stuff.
Well, yeah, and then next week we're going to have Apollo Crews back here, who is very much the same type of character.
Yeah, it's I like ACH a lot. I like him as a wrestler.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he's a very
talented
wrestler.
One of his more underrated runs, I thought, was when he was with Ethan Page in Evolve. I thought that was an interesting tag team where they're kind of playing meta bad guys there. That's kind of meta to me done right, but I like that stuff. Boa was okay. He was okay. He's a guy that in the old territory system, I put him on the road six nights a week going up against a guy like Ivan Koloff to work, to learn how to brawl a bit, and then learn how to... He has a Xia Li problem in that they want to do all these magnificent kicks and all these wonderful acrobatics with the kicks, and he's just not good at it, to be honest.
No, they need to let... If you're going to throw kicks, they need to let people who throw kicks kind of work a little bit stiffer.
Yes.
Like, there needs to be a little bit more oomph behind the kicks.
That's exactly
it. And there was a little bit of it, but that's what I need. Yeah, I need a little bit more stiffness from the kicks, and WWE tends to, like, an acrobatic martial arts movie style of kick throwing.
It's a dance. It's a dance type of martial arts as opposed to a fight.
You see that with Damian Priest.
Yeah.
Damian Priest was, like, throwing kicks, and he's throwing kicks in the WWE way, which is a little bit gimmicky for my taste.
What's the Brazilian martial arts dancing?
Capoeira.
Yes, it's that.
But like, there was a thing about this match that I did kind of get into, I'll be honest.
I thought it went on way too long. I mean, it was a phone check match for me, to be honest with you. I don't think a first round match should last as long, even though you're introducing all these new guys, but
that's the problem when you're introducing all these new guys, though, is you want to make sure everyone looks good.
Yeah, when in reality, the first round should just be cannon fodder and the guys that you want to make interesting. That's, you know, but, yeah.
This Shayna Baszler promo.
Loved it.
I adored it. Yeah, no, it was amazing.
You know why? Because she told the truth. Every mixed martial artist says, if I hadn't found fighting, I'd be in jail right now or whatever.
In stitches when she said that.
Her disdain for this whole thing cracked me up.
Oh, mixed martial arts saved my life. Yeah. Oh, God. Great.
I love it. It's like for me, if a wrestler ever cut a promo, and I think they did, I can't remember which woman did it, but they're cutting promos on Sasha and Bayley. Oh, it's always been their dream to be in the WWE, and they love Eddie Guerrero, and blah, 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 blah. It's like everybody has the same story. Whatever. I'm here to win and be a champ. Loved it. Absolutely loved this.
Intrigued by the Keith Lee promo. Not really sure where we're going with this yet, but I think maybe we're trying to get him back into the main event picture against Adam Cole at some point.
We're trying to heat him back up. More of a thing.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I mean, I was at least two of their shows where they took those videos from. I like Keith Lee a lot. I don't know if he can crack through the top upper echelon of NXT. That's my worry. And I don't know.
They're going to have to find a thing with his character. I think he can.
He's going to have to say more than bask in my glory.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the, right now he's the catchphrase sing-along guy that the people love, but he hasn't, and he needs a signature win. That's the other thing he needs.
But I want you to picture this because I think it can be done with him. Dusty versus the Horseman, only it's Keith Lee versus the Undisputed Era.
I'm down with that, but
I think you can get there, but they're
my
not
God,
there
that's
right
like,
now.
That's like the problem is that the Undisputed Era guys are so small compared to Keith Lee. It's like the would you rather fight a duck-sized horse or one duck-sized horse or 100 duck-sized horses or something like that? Whatever.
Yeah, no, I know what you're trying to get at here. But yeah, no, I mean, but that also would explain why Adam Cole needs the numbers.
Okay.
So you always have this, if Keith Lee just had even numbers.
I'm down with this program. If that's what you want to do, if you can make Keith Lee as tough and as bad as Dusty Rhodes in terms of being angry and showing that passion when he gets jumped, you know, when he gets his arm broken, you know, if Keith Lee can come back and cut a hard times promo, I'm down with that. But otherwise...
Yeah, no, it requires a little bit of lift, but I can see this angle in my head and actually it working, but needs to be worked.
What did you think?
Then we get to the main event.
Yes. There's one other thing. What did you think of the Velveteen Dream press conference?
I was expecting him to leave the podium on some sort of motorized scooter or one of those Segways. I'm not joking. That was actually the thing that I thought was going to happen. I was surprised when he just walked away. So I guess the answer there is I thought it was a little bit cheesy.
Mm-hmm. I did as well. Although I do like, I get some sick fascination that he always just takes pleasure in elevating Kathy Kelly.
Yes, Kathy.
Yeah. Kathy Kelly. Queen Kathy. You know, I do like that.
Kathy is really good.
Yeah, she is.
Like, I caught the opening of the last NXT TakeOver the other night when I was just on the WWE Network after I finished the NXTs. And Kathy was having to drag New Guy along. And I could just see how good she is at doing this job, which is a weird and very unnatural job. She really does have it down. She's good at what they ask her
to
do.
There are two things Kathy does well. Personal interviewer to Velveteen Dream and straight person to heel women on the roster. Between Bianca Belair and the Iconics, she's the perfect straight woman for them. The Royal Rumble interview backstage with the Iconics is still possibly my favorite piece of comedy this year in wrestling. It was just so good. The Street Profits versus the Britam Brawlers, a.k.a. Oni Lorcan, and I want to call him Martin Stone, but that's not his name. His name is Danny Burch. Yes. Decent match, I thought. Nobody interfered.
Yeah, decent match. Nobody interfered. I was actually a little bit surprised. I thought we were going to get the Forgotten Sons out here, but
it looks
like the Forgotten Sons are kind of on their way.
I found this version of the Street Profits, though, a little too flashy, as opposed to being nervous that they're actually going to lose their titles. It was just a little too clever by half, and you know,
they got a little too confident for my taste, and I want them to be hungry still.
They got a little too
hungry
sports
as champions. The one thing that Morrow did on commentary that I think was just genius is introduce that adage from mixed martial arts of they say when you become a champion, you become 25% better, which is such a great thing to have floating out there in the kayfabe world of why is this guy who was once a goober doing prelim matches now suddenly so much stronger because they're the champion? You can kind of put that out there and go, well, they're getting that little champion's bump. They're a little bit better. They get that swagger and that confidence that comes when you're champion. So I liked that touch.
Yeah, they were a little too sports entertaining for me, just a little.
I agree with that. And, you know, I get why Burch and Lorcan had to do the quick little heel turn there in the middle of the match just to make sure we were solidified. But, yeah,
They're fine being heels because they're kind of brawlers and they can go either way on that. So I was good with that.
Yeah. But this was good, and I'm looking forward to Red Dragon versus the Street Profits. But one other thing that I want to say that was good. I really think that the outfitting on tonight's episode for the Street Profits was better than in other weeks past.
Yes.
I love the jackets, and I thought that the color scheming and stuff looked very good on them.
Yeah, especially on Dawkins.
Dawkins has sometimes been hit or miss.
He has an issue with gear because of his body type.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. So with that, let's move it on over to NXT UK. The Hunt, we're in the main event, so that's always a good thing.
We will get to my mourning over the Hunt.
Yes. But first, we must begin with an Ashton Smith match against Ilya Dragunov. It appears that they're telling a story with Ashton Smith, which is good. So he is losing these matches, but he's losing these matches in a purposeful way to build to his one big first win. I'm guessing this will be taken care of a little bit better than Curt Hawkins's one big first win. Crowd still with Smith. Crowd starting to cool off on Smith a little bit, though, with the whoops. And so I don't know how much longer you can drag that out.
See, I'm going to disagree because I don't think the win he's going to get is going to be big enough. I think they're going to give him like a win over like Chris Hero. I mean, Cassius.
I said better than Curt Hawkins.
Yeah. And you know, in order to,
I set the bar low, Jeff.
Yeah. But in order to get this type of character really over, if you really do think, if you really are taking care of him, he has to beat someone like Walter in a non-title match for his win.
That would be very interesting. To have this one dangling victory, and this like question mark of could Ashton Smith actually put it together someday?
And I don't think that's Ashton Smith. I just don't.
No, I don't. He's not the right guy for that story.
Yeah. So I think I think he's purely going to be one of these guys that they feed to guys like Dragunov to get him over. And I'm fine with that. And Dragunov is okay. I still find him a little goofy, but
it's a little too big for me, but it is what it's going
to
be.
He's too small to be playing it this big.
He is doing the Macho Man thing only on overdrive. That I keep thinking about, you know, Macho Man with the big boas and the big cape and all of this stuff to make himself look bigger coming to the ring. And Dragunov does that only without, like, brightly colored boas, but instead with these contacts and with, like, all of this over-gesticulation.
Yeah, I was looking
at one point, Nigel said, oh, there's no wasted motion with Ilya Dragunov, and I scoffed because I'm like, he's all wasted motion. That's the whole gimmick.
Yeah, I viewed it as more monster heel mannerisms that he was doing, you know, like the stomping and the, you know, the things with the arms and the growling and thing, and I'm just like, you are 185 pounds, my friend.
And that's what keeps him from playing as a heel to me. I'm not convinced that this guy is supposed to be a heel. I feel like he's being presented as a face. Even though he's defeating guys like Ashton Smith. Because Ashton Smith is kind of cannon fodder. So that goes back to your point about Ashton Smith and this push maybe not going the way they needed to. We had Radzi in the backstage. I know this because every time I see him on my screen, he's identified as Radzi. Yeah. Yes, you
the
have to
Radzi.
Say it at least once.
Yeah,
the Radzi. I actually now refer to my cat Shadow as Shadzi sometimes because I keep seeing Radzi referred to it as Radzi. He talks with Zaya Brookside. Zaya Brookside's character is uncomfortable. Not like Oney Lorcan levels of awkward, but not something that I'm connecting with.
I like the interplay, though, between Babyfaces and Radzi. I like them being friends with the interviewer. You know, that kind of level of comfort. Yeah, my mind has drifted real quick, so I forgot what you just said.
You're thinking about Nina Samuels Download Festival.
I was actually thinking about the Trent Seven promo.
Okay, well, we can go there now. Okay. I was just trying to lifeline you. Let's talk about Trent Seven then.
Thank you. I thought the Zaya Brookside was a typical great, you know, I'm a babyface and I get my time with Ginny next week, and you know, and then Jazzy will probably interfere in some ways. She's a pure babyface, and it's so adorable. And me cheering for heels, I want to see her crushed. I want to see her dreams crushed and brought before her. And saying you will never be anything in this business. I am looking forward to Jazzy and Ginny stomping a mud hole.
I feel like we just got something deeply personal right there.
And stealing her soul. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, this is what young baby faces must go through as a baptism of fire when Jeff Hawkins watches them. And then eventually he'll find respect for them. God. I loved this Trent Seven promo. I loved the kind of looking down as if he was uncertain to say, and then the moment he got confident, directly into the camera. I thought that staging was brilliant.
Yeah, no, that was great. I love the explaining of what's going on with Pete Dunne and how Pete's got to do his own thing and how Trent's still here and how NXT UK was built on British Strong Style. thought that the substance of the promo was really good, and he really connects with his fans, and that's what matters. You know, last week we didn't love the blocking with the beatdown, but the more important part is that the crowd's with him.
This is everything they want Roman Reigns to be when he does the "we built this together and we're all, you know, that kind of thing." And I think they buy into it at NXT UK. I don't think they do.
No, the crowd's about to turn the corner on him now that he's paired with Cedric Alexander as a janitor. I think that's really going to turn the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Nina Samuels show. It's endearing.
I think it's funny. Endearing. I think she's endearing. Yes. I know that she's goofy, but she's not quite Iconics level of grading. She's actually kind of like funny.
It's the delusional heel gimmick, and it's fine. I'm a showbiz star. Who wants to be on my show? Let's talk about it. The problem is they do this with half the heels on the roster, giving them their own talk show. But I like, I think the juxtaposition.
And everyone's like a wannabe celebrity on this roster too. Remember, like they all think that they're like a star in some movie that doesn't exist.
The juxtaposition with the mud, though, I think is what did it.
Yes, and her like walking tenuously with her boots and everything. No, I thought that really is what made it. And the visuals were very, very strong on this. Then we had Toni Storm against Candy Floss. Not a ton to say here. This is a non-title match. I thought that this match did a good job getting Candy Floss a little bit further up the ladder.
Yes.
I mean, this is not designed to make her on tier with Toni Storm, but she had a couple of nice competitive spots and spots where she interacted well with Storm and held her own and looked like she wanted to win the match. And at the end of it, I thought Candy Floss benefited from having the match with Toni Storm, and that's what you want in these type of matches.
Yeah, no, I thought Candy Floss came off real well in this match in terms of being the, you know, the probably the lowest person on the female totem pole in terms and giving her a little bit of shine where she's up against someone who's at a talent level much higher than hers, but they're still both baby faces. And she still has some modicum of skill in there and can occasionally get one over on her. But eventually, skill will...
Toni Storm underestimated Floss. And I think that the sort of the narrative here is that we, the audience, have been underestimating Floss and we're living that through Toni. So I like that.
And then Kaylee Ray killed her, so...
Yeah, and then guess what? Toni Storm, the babyface, went and protected Candy Floss, the other babyface, which I also liked.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because I thought you were going to hate this, and I liked it more. I found I when she came out and she's doing, you know, the licking the lollipop.
The gimmick creeps me out a little bit, Jeff.
I'm
going to be honest.
It is.
Yeah,
it,
there's something uncomfortable about the gimmick for me.
Squirm at this gimmick. Yes, it's one of those.
If they have appropriate mentalities.
Yeah,
yes.
If you went to a women's wrestling show and this came out, you'd go, "I feel icky right now, and I think I should go outside." But in terms of her personality in the ring during this match, I thought Candy Floss did a great job of it. Yeah, so I liked this a little bit better than I thought I would when I saw that was going to be the match.
And apparently I did as well. So there you go. I'm full of surprises. Liguero cuts a promo, and he talks about losing some of these high-profile matches. We're talking about a bit of a reset for Liguero. I like that. They continue to put together good video packages for this guy, 51 episodes into this series. We really only started them in the last like 5 to 6 episodes here. But Liguero, now a guy that I root for. I can't wait to see him on my screen again.
I really want a heel turn from him, and I want him to change his gear somehow. I don't know into
that,
what.
No, that would be fun.
As a demon.
I don't know into what. He joins the hunt as the bull. Yes, get mastiff. Yeah, let's. I want the hunt to be 4 guys, 4 crazy dudes.
All right, let's get to that. Yeah, a moment of silence for Shake Them Ropes' favorite, the Wild Boar, Mike Hitchman. Valiant fighter to the end. Throwing his body all over the place.
This is a great match, though. I love the work in this match, and I love the story in this match. I love that soft tease of Joe leaving Mark out to dry.
I like that, too. I was getting happy because I thought the heat spot was so extended that the baby faces have to win this match. But it makes sense.
I thought there was a chance. I thought that that's how we were going to go, and that was going to create the tension in Gallus. But I did not see them winning and slow burning it.
But it makes sense because Mastiff will get the solo win, and these guys will take the fall for him. I think I wanted this to be a little bit less wrestly, but there was certainly enough brawling to make me happy about it. And I think,
but I needed some more outside of the ring chaos. I want a little more synergy between Mastiff and the two smaller guys.
Yeah.
Like I want Mastiff to really pull these dudes together and get like the most out of them, because I love Primate. He is a little small against some of these guys, but he's got great intensity and great fire, and paired with Mastiff, same thing with Wild Boar, a little small, but paired with Mastiff, you don't feel that nearly as much.
I found it interesting that they didn't quite hit that finisher, the two turnbuckle finisher, but that,
oh,
that
I
Primate,
loved that spot. That was so cool.
Yeah, that Primate.
That was great.
That he hit the elbow, but he still didn't get the pin because it wasn't the,
he's not
finisher.
The legal man,
and also it yes. wasn't the finisher. Yeah, no, I liked that. I thought that was really, really clever.
No, but he could have gotten the pin if he was the legal man. I thought that that helped keep the Hunt and the Mastiff team really strong, but it was a really smart and clever finish. I really liked this match. I thought that this kind of scratched all my itches, from the in-ring work to the in-ring story to the kind of meta story and where we're going off of this. Very purposeful match and really well worked.
I gave it 8 stars out of 3, so I was quite happy with it.
I actually had it at, it was a 9er for me, but it was really close to being a 10er.
I really liked the spot where the Hunt do the dive, and then Wild Boar immediately gets the Coffee Brother and throws him in to try and be pinned. I thought that was a nice strategy type thing, kind of, you know, really treating the audience as smart, as opposed to, you know, celebrating and then doing it. No, he immediately picked up the guy, threw him in the ring. I thought that was good. And they did the same thing to Hitchman later to get the pin. I thought this match was a smart match, I thought.
Yeah. I don't really know what more to say. I was completely satisfied with this match. Obviously, the only thing that would have been better is the Hunt winning, of course. But I thought that the story that they're telling is good and intriguing. Mark Coffey is now a guy that I'm into in a way that I was not into like 8 weeks ago. So, you know, that's another bonus.
Yeah, I think he's underrated.
Mark's
because,
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to cover before we get out of here?
Did you have anything to say about Extreme Rules? I did the preview on Tuesday.
No.
Okay. You can follow me at CrapGame13. You can follow Chris at Chris Novembrino. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. You can join the Patreon, patreon.com/ShakeThemRopes. For as little as $1, we provide extra audio. I think it'll probably be our hot takes on Extreme Rules and maybe the,
that's what you're getting this time.
And AEW Fire or Fight for the Fallen, and maybe even the 10th anniversary show if we can get around to watching all that this weekend. I think that'll be our show of choice. Chris also does other audio for your auditory pleasure. Please plug those shows at this time, Chris.
Absolutely. All in the Family Podcast, new episode out this week. You can check it out at the allinthefamilypodcast.com. Don't Worry About the Government, new episode out like yesterday. And you can check that out at don'tworry.tv. And you can, of course, search for Don't Worry About the Government and the All in the Family Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow me at Chris Novembrino. I think that's all we've got for right now.
That's all I got for right now.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Wrestling Podcast, there is a new shining star with great interviews, analysis, music, and me, Matt Kuhn, on Total Engagement. Go to any podcast platform to listen today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.